Turn in your Bibles tonight to John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we will complete this chapter tonight, and that's why we're doing the Lord's Supper, because it is in the time frame of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. But last week we talked about who would think that Jesus would do the things that he did in verses 1 through 20. And we need to understand the depth of Christ's love and the humility that was revealed to the disciples. It's revealed to us, if by his mercies that we're not consumed. And so in verses 1 through 3, we see the perspective of this time. There was a priority that was needed because time was running out. The perpetrator has been identified. There's someone that's going to betray Christ. And the perception has been realized here in verse 3. And it says, and knowing the Father had given him all things. In verses 4 through 17, we see the priority of service. And this is when Christ washed their feet. It was an unbelievable action and character. Christ, the Creator God, took on the form of a servant and washed man's feet. What a wonderful thing. The other thing is he washed his enemies' feet too. And that's a lesson for us too. We need to do well to all people. And then we see that in context. It was a universal action. He did it to everybody. He did it to everybody. It was a lesson that later on people applied. Peter applied it when he went into Cornelius' house. And then we see it was an unwanted action on Peter's part. He basically made an impulsive response, and tonight, guess what? He's going to make another one. He says, don't, I'll never let you wash my feet. Okay, I don't let you wash my feet. If I don't wash your feet, then you have no part with it. Okay, then let's wash everything. No, you don't need that either. We just need to be still and know God is God and just listen to what he says. And then it was an insightful reply in verse 10. Christ asked him, he says, you know what I did to you? The obvious answer, you washed your feet. No, there's something bigger than that. The issue is an ultimate application of the leadership of Christ. People lead by example. And God leads. He doesn't ask us anything that he wouldn't do. That's how you stay in God's will. You do the things he would do. You follow the word that he's given us. And we need to have that life that's lived for Christ. Verses 18 through 20, we see the preparation of the disciples for the betrayal that is there. And Psalm 41, verse 9, friend lifted up his foot at the table. And that's talking about Judas. And then basically for their belief in God, because they still don't think this is going to happen. They're still missing the point. So tonight, the title of my sermon is Betrayal. Betrayal. And we're going to be looking at verses 21 through 38 tonight. And the big issue is Christ's betrayers are revealed. We all betray Christ at some time or another when we sin. And so there's 3 points tonight. In verses 21 through 30, we see the last chance for Judas. It might be the last chance for some of us tonight. There was a troubling confession of the upcoming betrayal in verses 21 through 25. And it troubled Christ. And it troubled Christ. In John chapter 13, verse 21, it says, when Jesus had thus said, you know what I've done to you? If I can wash your feet, you wash other people's feet too. You do all these things. Okay? It's a life of service. So when Jesus said, thus said, he was troubled in spirit. The same words used in John 7. The same words used in John 8 where he's troubled. He's agitated in his humanity. Why won't people listen? Does this really have to happen? So when Jesus said thus, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. So now it's going to be revealed who it is. In John chapter 6, verse 70, if you go all the way back to his early ministry, he basically said here, Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12 and one of you is a devil? Nothing gets by Jesus because he's God. And God in his foreknowledge understands, and his omniscience understands everything's going to happen. But God's plan overrides all those things. People have a choice. Judas had a choice. He had a choice when he was commissioned, and he did all these things. Okay? Now, we know he's going to harden his heart, just like Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. But that didn't mean he didn't have a choice. He had a choice. So, it troubled the disciples. In verses 22 through 25, and we'll read this passage and we'll kind of break it down. It says, then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. That was John. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? See, this troubling confession not only troubled Christ, it troubled the disciples. They were all confused. The verse, the word here, it says that they doubted. That word is translated as perplexed. They did not understand what was going on. They were all confused because, you know something? They thought it was them. Every one of them thought that it was them, that they were going to be revealed as the betrayer. Here's the problem. They needed confidence in Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 says this, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence towards God. Every one of those disciples had failed. Every one of us had failed. They doubted. They were perplexed. Christ says this. Now, they've been walking with him, and they've all been able to do the same thing because Christ told them to do it. And so they are all confused on why is this going to happen in the first place, and then who is going to be the guilty one? They were all capable of betrayal. You know, Christ basically calls out the religious people and says this. He said, you are of your fathers, the prophets, the people who killed the prophets. And they said, well, we would never do that. Yeah, you would. Yeah, you would. Oh, if it was us in the upper room, nope. We would never betray Jesus. Oh, we're all capable of betrayal. It doesn't matter how close you are. There's one on Jesus' breast. He could betray him. There's Peter saying, who is it? Ask him. He could be betrayed. And Christ has said, get thee behind me, Satan. John and James said, hey, why don't you call down fire and consume these cities because they don't believe in you? He says, you don't have the spirit. You don't have the right spirit. They're all capable of betraying. You know what? We're all capable too. Romans chapter 3, verse 12 says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Goes on in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, who his own self bare whose sins? Our sins. Our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So this troubling confession of the upcoming betrayal had troubled Christ because in his humanity, this was the last hour. time is running out. And you know something? We in our humanity hate to be betrayed. We hate to be disrespected. And basically people saying one thing and then not doing another and then hanging you out to dry. And Christ is going to be all alone here pretty quick. Pretty quick. It troubled the disciples. They were confused. They were all capable of betraying. That's why John says, ask him. Ask him. Before we go to the next subpoint here, we need to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. God, through Moses, says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. We know who the betrayer is. It's Judas. Judas is going to have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. He's already had an opportunity by going out and doing the things that Christ said because he had the power of God. He just had his feet washed. And now there's a tremendous choice before Judas. Well, Judas was predestined. No, God knew that it was going to be him. Okay? But he still had a choice. The choice was in his hands on verse 26. So John asked Jesus, Lord, who is it? Jesus never uses his name. You know why? Because it could represent all of us. In verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped it, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now here's an interesting point. When you are at a meal, Jesus is the master of the meal. He is the host. When you give the sop, you take a piece of bread and you give a sop to someone, you're honoring them. So Jesus has just washed his feet. And now he takes the bread and he gives him a position of honor. And he says, take it. Take it. Can you imagine what Judas is going through in hell when he sees these choices that he had? And he passed them up because his heart was hardened. Okay? His heart was hardened. And so the choice is in his hands. Here's the sop. Christ has identified him. It's in his heart. In verse 27, and after he took the sop, Satan entered into him. Now here we see at the beginning of Christ's ministry, in Matthew chapter 3, Christ gets baptized. Matthew chapter 4, the first part of that, the Spirit leads him out to the wilderness. Who tempts him? Satan directly. Okay? At the end of Christ's ministry, who is present? Satan himself. He's going to be there personally. Not going to assign any demon or anything else. It's Satan. It's all his power right there. Because of the choice that he had to make. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. God's plan is in motion. Let's finish it. You know, it's not an agonizing thing. You know, when we sin, it's instantaneous. When we betray Christ, it's instantaneous. So we see the terrible choices before Judas. We see the troubling confession of the upcoming betrayal. And in verses 28 through 30, we see the terrible consequences for Judas. It was personal. So he gives him the sop. Satan enters into him. Jesus says, what you going to do? Do quickly. He's out the door. He's out the door. Verse 28 through 29. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. They still didn't know. You know when they're going to find out? In the garden. They're going to find out in the garden. And what is Christ going to say? Friend, why have you come? Verse 29, it says, for some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, he was a treasurer, that Jesus had said unto him, buy those things that we have need of against the feast. It's Passover feast. We may need something. Or that you should give something to the poor, because it was custom at that time to give alms to the poor during Passover. They still didn't know. Well, if it was me, I would know exactly what's going on. No. Because they won't believe their eyes. They don't believe their ears. Christ has been telling them that this is happening. And they still don't get it. The consequences for Jesus, this is personal. He's now bearing all the brunt on him. It was parting from God. It is separation from the presence of God forever. Folks, the decisions that we make in this life affect our eternity. In verse 30, it says, and then having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. And it was night. So it was personal. He was parting from God. He was being separated from God. In the last part of the verse 30, he's perishing. Now Christ has already preached in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. He says, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. When was this happening? Night. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Judas is revealed for walking in the night. He goes out into the night. There's no light in him at all. And we know the story, how he's going to try to give the money back. He's going to try to cover the whole sin up. That's what people do today. They try to cover their sin, pay people off, pay God off. It's not going to work. You got to come to Christ and admit who he is and get his forgiveness. In Mark chapter 14, verse 21, it says, the Son of Man indeed goeth, as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it that man if he had never been born. That is the terrible consequence for Judas. Judas had a choice. He had his feet washed. He was given the honor of the sop given to him by God himself. But he chose not to do it. God knew it, but it was Judas's choice. It was Judas's choice. And there's some of people out there that I've heard that basically say, well, Judas is in heaven. Mm-mm. Nope. Not. We did the will of God. So did Cyrus. So did Nebuchadnezzar. So does all of us. We either fulfill the word of God positively by doing it or negatively by not doing it or not following God. So this is the last chance. It's the last chance for Judas. So we see what happened here. Verses 31 through 35, we see the love commandment. The reason is now the shadow of the cross is over this upper room. In John chapter 13, verse 31 through 32, it says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, for the joy that was set before him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised his shame. It's over. The last things are set in motion. The plan is going to be complete. John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. We've seen in John chapter 10 that he says, I have the power to lay it down, I have the power to pick it up again. So we see the reason here. We see the recipients. There is no more betrayer in the midst. The 11 are the ones that are the faithful ones. This is who Jesus is talking to now. God's talking to you tonight. Verse 33, little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you. You know, he's already told the Jews, he says, you're not going where I'm going. He said that several times. And then he says, where I'm going, you can't come. And he said, will he kill himself? They didn't understand. But now Christ is saying, look, John gets this. And I find it interesting. Now you see this verse here, verse 33 of John, his gospel. And look at what he writes in 1 John. He says, my little children. He understands. He's get it. Folks, do we get the magnitude of God's love tonight? Do we understand his grace? Do we understand his mercy here? He gets it. Hey, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And so the recipients here in this love commandment are the children of God, the 11, not the betrayer, because he's not going to do it. The requirement is the charity of Christ, the love of God. In verse 34, he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Now here is the point. All these words for love is agapeo. In these verses, it's only the love that only God can demonstrate and God can give. And the only way we can love like this is if we have a relationship with God, if we're part of his family, and God is our heavenly Father. Only way we can do this. Only way. He says, my little children, he says, I'm going to empower you to do this. And he says, a new commandment. This is not the Deuteronomy 6 thing. This is now, I've washed your feet. I have been sacrificed. I'm going to be sacrificed for you. My mission is just about over. Your mission is just starting. And you're going to take this love beyond. The result is the comprehension by all. It says here in verse 35, it says, by this what? By following this new commandment that you love one another as Christ loves us and gave himself on the cross. He says, by this all men, not just the ones in the church, everybody shall know that ye are my disciples if you have what? Love one for another. It's something that can't be denied. Love is something that you can count on. And it stays always. Go read 1 Corinthians 13 tonight. So he gives the love commandment, the reason the cross is in view. The recipients are the 11 that are left. The requirement is to love like Christ loves us. And the result is that everyone will see that. Then in verses 36 through 38, we see a lasting conversation. It's not the last conversation, but it's a lasting one because it's going to have ramifications. This is the last time that Jesus speaks, before the crucifixion, that Jesus speaks to Peter directly. There's an inquiry here. Verse 36, Simon Peter saith him, they didn't get Judas leaving. They didn't get what Christ has been saying. Simon Peter said, Lord, whither goest thou? You know, it's like your little kid when you had a child. Daddy, where are you going? And you can't explain. You're not going to comprehend. So Peter says, where are you going, Daddy? We can see the long-suffering of Christ here. Haven't you paid attention? Haven't you paid attention? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. And we know what happened to Peter. We know what happened to him. So he says, where are you? It's an impulsive response again. Verse 30 says, you know, Peter loved Christ. But sometimes it kind of got sideways. You know, we love God too. Don't let your love get sideways. Just look dead on. In verse 30, Peter said to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? It's not God's plan, Peter. Why can't we do it right now? Maybe it's not God's plan for us. We need to be patient and wait on the Lord. He says, I will lay down my life for thy sake. That's not the first time Peter said this. And we know what's going to happen in the garden. He's a fisherman, not a swordsman. He doesn't take off his head. He takes off his ear. He misses. So the issue is that Peter, once again, is talking from here, not necessarily from here. So there's an inquiry that he asks, Lord, I don't understand. He's going to the right spot. He's asking God. But he's not getting it because he's trying to figure it out up here and not trusting down here. He makes this impulsive response, and now here comes the indictment. In verse 38, Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Can you back up your words with action? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. We know now it's just a matter of hours. This is the night of his betrayal. This is the night of the garden. This is the night of the mock trial. This is the night of Peter's denial. The next day is the crucifixion. Tonight, this is the context of the Lord's Supper. This is what was going on at this time. Have we betrayed Christ with our actions, our words? Tonight, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that we need to examine ourselves, that we take this worthily. And so we will keep your seats tonight. I'm going to ask our instrumentalists to come up and play. And I just want us to be in an attitude of prayer. If you want to come to the altar and get things right, please do. But let's not betray God. Let's follow him. Amen. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, I ask that you be with us time of invitation. Lord, that we get our hearts right, Lord, for you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.